Kol Nidre. Have you heard that before? You may have and didn't even know that you'd heard it before. Kol Nidre is an old Aramaic word. It means all vows, all promises. It's an expression of loyalty. For generations, that piece of music has been played on Yom Kippur. I think John kind of does pretty well. How many times have you played that at synagogues at sunset? I mean, have cello, we'll travel. You know, it works pretty good. It is music and text that is used during that confession and forgiveness. And today has become kind of the standard form of that Jewish High Holy Feast Day, the Day of Atonement. It really became standardized during the Middle Ages. It was a time that was difficult time for the Jews living all over the world, contemporaneous with Martin Luther and other reformers. It would have been used and played, and those words that we shared at the beginning of the service would have been recited sometimes multiple times through the course of that evening. In that time, for much of Europe and East Asia and North Africa, those were dark days, hard days to be a member of the Jewish community, because then, over and over, Jewish people and their families were forced at edge of sword, forced at tip of spear. They were compelled to renounce their faith, to renounce their tradition, and be converted. Converted to Islam, converted to Christianity. So the Kol Nidre, Yom Kippur, became more and more important as a way to atone and to find forgiveness for that false vow. Hard days. Sometimes we call them the three Abrahamic religions. What are they? This is a test. Judaism, right? And then, we're kind of sandwiched in the middle there. And then finally, thirdly, who else calls Abraham father? Muslims, yeah. And so, we see our roots in that story of Abraham and Sarah, the one who called us, destined us, claimed us, God's chosen ones, but always with a backdrop of tears and blood and dust and fire. Oh, Father Abraham. Oh, Mother Sarah. How did we get here? Moses said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Generations later, it came up again. Who said it again? Jesus. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and your mind and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I suppose, though I don't know, that even our Muslim friends are not without some similar admonition in their holy text. And now, here with all that we've done to each other, with all the pain that we've caused one another, these warring children of Sarah and Abraham, what are we supposed to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I suppose we could write letters to each other. We've done that. We could make new promises. We could wipe one another's tears. Wow, but is there some place? Is there some place I can take my consternation and my shock, my frustration, my anger, honestly, my sadness over my own story, my Lutheran story? There's an old city in Asia Minor. It's just a tourist spot now, but it is this great cosmopolitan kind of seaport, a banking metropolis of its day. At its highest, there were over 250,000 people who lived in this city. Now, in ancient terms, that's really, really big. There would have been living there and keeping there traders and farmers and sailors, merchants and money changers and soldiers, immigrants and refugees, slaves and owners, the great city of Ephesus. It was famous because there was a temple there. And who's in the temple? I mean, if you've ever been on the tour or looked through, National Britannica, it's the ancient god Artemis. And we thought about showing a picture of Artemis up on the screen, but it's a little R-rated. I mean, it is this woman of manifold breasts. I'm turning red just kind of looking for a way to describe it. This goddess of love, this personage of fertility, this reminder of the wonder of childbearing, this female form. The Apostle Paul had visited there, discovered many people, many religious traditions, many ways that people practiced religious devotion in their time. There were, at the time, Jews there, and there were Christians there, and there were Jewish Christians there, all sharing space, all figuring out a way to get along. The followers of John, the gospel writer John, were there. And it was at about 90 A.D., maybe as late as 100 A.D., letters were drafted. We now have them in our own Bible as 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. The beginning of chapter 3, it says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we shall be called the children of God. And so, that is what we are." What makes us the offspring of God? Some merit on our part? Some great choice that we've made? Some pitfall that we've avoided? Or is it something else? What makes us belong to one another, to our Creator? See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And so, that is what we are. So love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And oh, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.